Timothy chapter 1. The title of our lesson tonight is Stay on the Job. Stay on the Job. Found in an article, advertisement in a newspaper in London. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. This advertisement appeared in a London newspaper and thousands of men responded. It was signed by the noted Antarctic explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton. And that is what made the difference. If Jesus Christ had advertised for workers, the announcement might have read something like this. Men and women wanted for difficult task of helping to build my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those working with you. You will face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor, and your full reward and compensation will not come till after your work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, even your life. In spite of the demands that he made, Jesus Christ receives the applications of many who gladly give their all for him. He is certainly the greatest master for whom everyone could work. And the task of building the church is certainly the greatest challenge to which a believer could give his or her life. One of the missionaries that we have supported down through the years, we first started supporting her as Susan Moore, and then she got married to a man from Peru, and they worked as missionaries in Chile for a while, and they have come back to the United States to start a church outside of Columbus, Ohio, in the Hispanic works there. You know, to begin a church is never an easy thing. If my dad were here, he could tell you it's very trying. Timothy was one young man who responded to Christ's help or call to help build his church. He was one of the Apostle Paul's special assistants. Along with Titus, Timothy tackled some of the tough assignments in the churches that Paul had set up. Timothy had been brought up in a religious home. Now, you've heard me say on any number of occasions, religion will not get us into heaven. Religion is man's attempt to please God. But if we're truly going to please him, we must be willing to follow Jesus Christ by what the Word of God has to say. He had been led to faith in Christ by Paul, which is why Paul called him my own son in the faith. Timothy was born of mixed parentage. His mother was a Jewish, his father a Greek. He was so devoted to Christ that his local church leaders recommended him to Paul, who added him to his missionary staff. Now, can you imagine traveling with the Apostle Paul? It sounds like a great thing, wouldn't it, to be able to hear this man preach, and yet how many times Paul was beaten, and sometimes part of his staff was beaten. Timothy was faithful to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who will bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. What a testimony that he was faithful in the Lord. If you would, the book of Philippians chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 19. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. And it says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for men like Timothy, men who have a testimony of remaining faithful. Lord, we thank you for men and women who are willing to be used of the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. If you would, the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. Shortly we'll begin reading at verse 1. Point number 1 is teach sound doctrine. And I will tell you this, that not everyone likes to hear sound doctrine. Not everyone wants to hear what the Word of God has to say. You say, Pastor Paul, how do you know? Well, all we have to do is look around. We find that churches all over right now are struggling that want to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. But let's begin reading at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, get the picture here. Paul has gone to Macedonia and he has left Timothy in Ephesus. Not an easy place to start a church. Do you remember the idol that is worshipped in Ephesus? Diana. You remember the problems that were created because they were getting rid of their idols. Verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But ye know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. From the very greeting of the letter, Paul affirmed his authority as a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, can I say this, that everyone that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior is a servant of the Lord? That we are to serve him. And those that were giving Timothy trouble needed to remember that their pastor was there because God had put him there. Now, my dad did not talk much about the Harvest Baptist Church that he established out on 23 Mile Road just west of Van Dyke. And one of the reasons is because of the troubles he endured while he was out there. He was a young pastor. And as he began a new church, one of the first things that happened is disgruntled Baptists from other churches started coming to his church. And it created many issues. And since he's not here to say, Paul, you can't say this, finally they made him leave, even calling the police. See, there are those that are not interested in sound doctrine. They have in their mind things that make them feel good, and that's what they're interested in. There is this warning that Paul gives to Timothy. Neither give heed to fables. Now, evolution is a fable, but it's not the only one. There's lots of so-called religious fables, things that are built around superstitions and also endless genealogies. So, Timothy, fables and genealogies, they will become more important than the Old Testament scriptures. Linda, there are some, even in our society today, that believe that the thoughts of their clergy are more important than what the Word of God has to say. But we need to remember that is not so. And we need to remember this. Many things divide the church. It causes them to take their eyes off the message of the saving grace of Jesus. See, the church has a job, and that job is to teach and preach the Word of God. And we need to be faithful to the Word of God. Paul said, which minister questions rather than God the edifying, which is in faith. These genealogies and these fables create issues that are not helpful. What we need is the Word of God. And then he says, charity out of a pure heart. What's another word for charity? Love. Love in action. Unconditional love. Out of a pure heart. Now, that's pretty hard, isn't it? To get something pure. I mean, even ivory soap isn't 100% pure, is it? 99.... But, you know, the fact is we need to strive to have a perfect heart, a pure heart. And it says, and of a good conscience. Someone has well said that if your conscience is bothering you, most likely you're going to struggle with peace in your life. So you need to make sure that you get your conscience right. Some having swerved. Now, when we think of swerving, we think of someone in a car, right? Swerving. Or someone on a bike trying to miss a pothole or something. But some having swerved had turned aside unto vain jangling. They've gone away from the Word of God. Would you take your Bibles and just turn to the last chapter of 1 Timothy and the last two verses. Notice how Paul ends his letter to Timothy. He says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. In other words, keep the doctrines of the church, the doctrines of the Bible, the doctrines of God, keep them. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. In other words, two times he's telling Timothy, listen, keep what is right in front of the people. And don't let them take you down another road. A second, we find the law back here in chapter 1. We'll read verses 8 through 10 once again. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Now, what does the law tell us? Simply that we are all what? That we're all sinners. Can any of us keep the Ten Commandments? No, it's impossible. If we could keep commandment number 1 and commandment number 10, we might have a chance at the other 8. But I don't know anybody that keeps 1 and 10 the way we should. But we know that the law is good. Who was the only one that ever kept the law? Jesus Christ, he was the only one. If a man use it lawfully. You know, the problem that the Pharisees and Sadducees and others had is they wanted to beat up other people because they didn't keep the law the way they thought they should. Verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. In other words, the law is made for all of us, right? Because we are sadly lawless and disobedient. For the ungodly and for sinners. For unholy and profane. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. For manslayers. For whoremongers. For them that defile themselves with mankind. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to what? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. The law is to convict sinners and demonstrate their guilt. It is to make us realize that we need a Savior. When a sinner believes on Jesus Christ, he is freed from the curse of the law. And the righteous demands of the law are met by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a believer, or as a believer yields to God. Galatians chapter 3, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 3. We find that Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said that the wages of sin, or the breaking of the law, is death. And that's what it brings us. But if you would, Galatians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, we're cursed because we all break the law. But, verse 11 says, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So we need to realize that we are to live by faith in Jesus Christ. I am so glad that I do not have to work my way to heaven. I am so glad because I know Paul Madonna. I know I'd fall short. Can you imagine working your way to heaven and you see the pearly gates right there and you're so close and you just can't get there? Wouldn't that be terrible? And yet Jesus Christ died for all mankind so that it all can be saved. The gospel message works as an inner transformation, and its sound doctrine directs us into a lifestyle of holiness and love. If we remain faithful to the teachings of the Bible, we can have a lifestyle of holiness and love. Paul here centered particularly on five of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. Commandment 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Number 5 was, honor thy father and thy mother. And yet Paul says, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. They were not honoring their parents, were they? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing to think that somebody would kill their parents? You know, the Bible tells us one reason that people do this. For the love of money. It's the root of all evil. They think they're going to get something. Commandment number 10, thou shalt not kill. There were murderers and manslayers. You know, we live in a world where it is sad that people do get murdered. But there probably were a lot more back then because a lot more got away with it. They didn't have all the forensic identification tools they have today. They didn't have everything that they have today to help stop it, but so many murdered. Commandment number 7 is, thou shalt not commit adultery. The whoremongers were those that committed fornication. Them that defile themselves with mankind were sodomites. And, you know, we live in a society today where there's such a debate over, do we have the right? Well, see, this is what evolution has done. Evolution has removed God. Because we don't need God, because we're here by chance. There was this ball of energy that exploded, and over billions of years, the stars came to be, and planets came to be, and there was this planet that was just at the right spot, just by chance. You realize if we were a few thousand miles closer to the sun, we'd all die of heat. If we were a few thousand miles away further, we'd all freeze to death. But then they say somehow, in a pool of water, there was a lightning strike, and life was formed. Do you realize that scientists have tried to create life, and they can't do it? How many lightning strikes do you think there are on planet Earth every day? Thousands. Is there any new life? No, there isn't. But they say that this life grew, dividing and multiplying. And finally, one day it decided we don't need fins, we're going to have feet. And we're going to come out of the water. Now, tell me if that doesn't take a lot of faith to believe that. See, what we have is that evolution has said we're here by chance. And so if there is no God, then he has no right to tell us how to live. This Bible that people have said was what we should follow is really corrupt and it's intolerant. And yet we realize that when we follow the Word of God, we're a whole lot happier and we're a better people. Commandment number 8, thou shalt not steal. Well, there were men stealers, it says here in 1 Timothy 1, and also kidnappers, men stealers. Commandment number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. Do you believe everything that you see in commercials? You get those value packs at your house? They're full of things. Do you believe everything that's in there? I don't believe everything. Perjured persons, Paul says. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Our Lord's desire is for his people to live peaceably with one another. To live peaceably. To live properly within the church. And to live purely for his glory. Can I say this to you? In this day and age where so many have walked away from the church, remain faithful. Stay steadfast. So that when we stand before our Lord, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that is shown to us by Jesus Christ and his dying for us on the cross. We thank you for those who have stood firm down through the years, faithful to the Word of God. And Lord, now as we have the baton, may we remain faithful as we pass it on to another generation. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.